Some people think, I think most people would think that you know, you can upgrade your 40 mil bench top or 60 mil bench top, and they think this is the thickness of the actual bench top. It's not. You know, you might think, oh, I'm getting a 40 mil bench top because it's stronger. It doesn't work like that. The bench top always stays.
It's fine. If you, when you're ready, we're really ready to start. Yeah. Hello, welcome back to the number one home building podcast in Australia. This week, we are talking about everything to do with your kitchen. So we're calling this podcast Kitchens 101. Hopefully we can give you some really helpful advice and maybe even, you know, get you thinking about things in your kitchen that you may not have considered. So I'm super excited for this one. As usual, let's kick ourselves off introducing ourselves.
I'm going to have to come up with a different introduction.
I know. I was just thinking that as well.
In the meantime, it's Chris Baptista, director of Homes by CMA, one of the largest and best builders in Queensland.
Boom. Love it. So I'm Jaden Peters. I am the marketing manager for CMA. So I've got a bit of a list here of what I want to go through. But one of the first things is a lot of people don't even know is obviously you come into your color selection and you have your, you know, color selection for everything you want in your house, including your kitchen. It generally starts with your cabinetry, right?
Well, not really, but sort of. It starts usually with the outside of the house and then you go inside the house.
No, but when I'm talking about the kitchen directly, not the color selection.
Oh yeah,
like the kitchen. When you start doing the kitchen, you start choosing the color of it. I'll have to specify.
No, it's good.
All right, we'll leave that shit in. All right, but yeah, so the cabinetry color, right? So we use Polytech as our, you know, as our company that supply our cabinetry and the different grains and
two main suppliers. So we got Polytech and we got Laminex. We use Polytech, but both have similarish products and both have similarish colors. No one is better than the other, in my opinion. Anyway, but we use both.
For sure. And both companies will also have then a, you know, different range of designs, whether that's the colors or the finish or the different types of grain or whatever. And they also vary in price, hey?
Yeah, and there's definitely, there's more options than, and there's options that people wouldn't even think about. From the profiles of the doors to the handles to sort of everything, those companies have so many options that most people would have even no clue as to what is on offer. So the first thing actually to recommend is go on the Polytech website and have a look at all the offers. The brochures are on the website and it's plenty of information on those brochures.
Yeah, awesome. And so what would be the classified as a standard range for those? And what is it? What's the difference between a standard and the premium?
Yes, so usually if you have anything that's high gloss, it's a premium finish. So whether you are talking the Createch range, which is a high gloss type of melamine door, or you have another range, which is not really Polytech, it's more so from the cabinet maker side of things, and that's a two-pack finish. Two-pack is simply a painted door. And again, it doesn't have to be high gloss. You can have a two-pack finish with a satin finish. You can have a two-pack finish with a high gloss finish. But that's, again, a different thing. But if we come back to the door and what sort of Polytech offers, or sort of Laminex, because it is the same thing. So you have your melamine range. So the melamine range is just a standard finish. You can have plenty of options. I don't know how many colors we have on displays, but there's a lot. There's probably about 50 or 60.
Definitely.
And you can have your timber look. You can have your colored sort of cabinetry. But yes, once you go into the matte finishes or once you go into the high gloss, the price point goes up.
100%.
And that's just because of the work that is required to do those work. And then once you go then into one step further, which is the profile door. So if you want a Hamptons home or if you, I guess, even want a modern home with a Hamptons style door, like a coastal type of finish or whatever, those doors are again another price point because those doors are a profile door. And again, there's so many profiles.
So what do you mean by profile for people who don't know?
So it's called the shaker door. And it says, so most doors are simply flat. I guess they have no profile. It's a flat kitchen door. The profile door means it has a texture to it. So what I mean by that
texture,
is
a bevel.
Yeah, so you could have a flat door and, for example, you have, say, a 60 mil sort of perimeter frame and the inside is recessed in.
That's it. Yeah.
So that's a profile door. It could be recessed in 5 mil. It could be recessed in 10 mil. Mm-hmm. The profile could be wider. The profile could be rounded, beveled edge. There's so many, profiles you can have. Mm. And basically where those doors are more, so first of all, they're more because of the profile. And then they're more because they are usually a thermolaminated door. What is a thermolaminated door? Took me a bit of time to say this word. Yeah. It's a...
Say it three times fast.
Thermolamin. It's basically a door that has a vinyl wrap that is wrapped all around, I guess.
Yeah.
So as opposed to a melamine door, and if you have a look at the door, because you might not have paid attention, but a melamine door has an edge all around, which is usually a PVC edge. Mm-hmm. And that's just to finish the sides of the door. A vinyl wrap or a two-pack finish doesn't have that edge. So I guess if you think of it this way, it's a neater finish on the edges.
A bit more clean. Yeah.
A bit more clean. But at the same time, I personally don't see anything wrong with a PVC edge, and it actually looks pretty cool.
I agree.
But yeah, that's where the prices and everything go with doors. And again, you can then have a melamine finish that is also more expensive if you have texture to it. So we talked about texture, but this one is a bit different. You could have a timber grain where, as opposed to a timber look door, which might look timber, but it's completely smooth.
Yeah.
You could have a timber look door, which has actually the texture of a real timber door. So that's a little bit more expensive.
Yeah. And it looks good too. It looks super cool.
It looks good too. Good. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. So you've chose the color and everything like that. Now it's time to actually choose the actual sort of type of drawer you want. It comes with lots of other features. So you've got everything from, you know, soft close to bloody, like you said, beveled edge. You mentioned before the type of handles you want.
So
overhead cabinets.
That's right. Yeah, soft close is a must. I don't know if builders don't do it nowadays as a standard, but I would be hoping that they do it as a standard because it's a must to have.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly in things like drawers and doors, really, it's just much nicer.
I agree.
And it feels more luxurious, I guess. You know, when you close your drawer, you don't have to wait for it to close. And particularly if you have kids, if you have kids, you know, they most likely will be slamming those drawers. So yeah, soft close is a must. Then you have a few different options. So with the overhead cabinets, so the ones that are sitting on top, I guess, you have a few options. You can put a handle.
Mm-hmm.
Or what we very often do is we drop the doors about 20 mil, so 2 centimeters, and we have what we call a finger pull. So there's no handle, it's a slick sort of finish, and all you have to do to open the door is just grab the bottom and just open it.
Looks good.
So that's one option. Then you also have the push to open. So the push to open, like the name says, you just push the door, you basically click onto something inside and the door would push open.
Yeah.
So then you still have to grab the door and open that. Now, something to be mindful about a push to open, and I will say this because I had it in one of the houses I built for myself, and it is very annoying.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is,
I wasn't gonna say it, but I was like, okay.
If you have it in your overheads, it's no issue. If you have a fridge cabinet, if you have overheads, that's fine. I say that, but at the same time, I find it a little bit annoying. I think you push and open. If you don't push in the right spot, it might not work, and particularly if you have drawers. But now if you have it in your base cabinets and you have drawers and when you're going to be cooking or when you're going to be prepping food and if you need to touch that drawer,
you knock it.
You will knock it open all the time. So I'm going to say don't do it because you will regret it. So so the other option that we do now a lot and we even have it on display homes and everything is the beveled edge.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at the classy finish, that is where you don't see the door handle, but it looks nice and it's really practical, is the beveled edge. The beveled edge is basically, like the name says, I guess, a 45 degree beveled edge like on the drawer. I don't know if people can see it, I guess, but you grab the top and you just slide it open. Super easy to use.
Mm.
And also what you can do is you can mix and match. So you could have, for example, the front panel in a timber look and the beveled edge strip could be black.
Nice.
So you could mix and match the soft colors. It's practical. It looks great.
Yeah, definitely.
And you don't have the issue that you have with the push to open. So
And what I like is that even though it's beveled edge, it's still got that really nice flush look to it as well.
Oh, it's great. I think the look is, I love the look. Yeah. I think if I had to pick a look, it would be the beveled edge, except if I'm going Hamptons.
Yeah.
And Hamptons, I would probably pick like some kind of half moon handle brush brass or something around those lines.
Mm.
And again, handles, There's so many available. Okay. You might think 10, 20, 30. There's literally hundreds of designs from the black, the stainless, the satin, the brush brass. You literally have pretty much everything.
Yeah.
And you also have Morden range. You have Hampton's range.
The list goes on.
The list goes on. So, but yeah, if you have a Hampton's house, I think it is nice to have a handle.
That's it.
And you can choose those two.
That's it. You can spend several hours choosing a handle.
Several hours choosing a handle. Yeah.
Oh, my. The alarm's going off. Cool. So a lot of other extra things, and I know we're just sort of really jumping into this podcast, is a lot of people don't know they can get other drawers and stuff into their kitchen, and they can mix and match different types of drawers.
Yes. So how it works, and again, a lot of people may not know that. Most builders, when we do kitchen and cabinetry, everything is custom made.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have everything you want. You can have the heights of the drawers you want as long as you specify it to your builder.
That's it. For example, if you've got a really big pot or something.
That's exactly right.
Get it a little bit bigger, it'll fit perfectly in.
Yeah, how many times have I met clients and we got three pot drawers, but they want the bottom one to fit this particular pot, and that pot needs to have 200 mil of space. So you can adjust everything. Same thing with the width of drawers. It's all custom made, and it shouldn't cost you any more to go custom made, because that's what it is. That's how our cabinet makers do it. And if a builder is going to tell you, oh, it's going to be more expensive to go custom made, I would be really worried about the cabinetry they use, because it's probably either from Bunnings or IKEA or like something around those lines, which you don't really want to have in your house. So
Awesome. So you've got the cabinetry, and another great thing and a perk of being custom as well is you can then accessorize those cabinets.
Definitely.
So you can begin to add things like if you want like a spice rack, or if you want a pull-out bin, or loads of other things. They're super cool features. Yeah. Hey,
spice racks are really good to put your spices on.
Yeah. As the name suggests.
No, but it's very good. You know, spices are one of those things. I mean, you know, some people buy like the cool things that you see on your bench.
Yeah.
But if not, a really nice spice rack, because at least you can pull it out and you got all your spices there. It's neat. Mm-hmm. It looks really good. You get pull-out bins, as opposed to, you know, you go to like Bunnings, buy one of those cheap bins that comes out of the door. Arena's pull-out bins, in my opinion, is a great thing to have in your kitchen.
I agree.
I think we charge $349, if I remember well.
Yeah, something like that.
So, you know, it's a pretty good price considering it's a quality bin, and looks really great. It's hidden. And you can have the two bins. So you can have your front one, which is a standard one, and you can have the recycle bin at the back too. So there's two spots.
That's it. It's
a
win-win.
Yeah, so it's a win-win. I mean... And then
it's a win-win with the bin.
And then the list. And then the list goes on. We've done houses, which you haven't seen yet, but we've done houses where the overheads are pushed to open, but electric. So what you do is you push your door and the door opens up on its own.
That's cool.
And that's super cool. It's like a folding door that goes on top like that.
Yeah.
Super cool. And then you can even like have built-in pantries. So, you know, again, like the spice rack, but a massive like version when you pull it out and you got a massive pantry with all the stainless steel shelving, and great thing to have too.
Yeah.
Particularly if you have a kitchen that doesn't have a lot of space.
Yeah,
you know, like if you have like a smaller house or granny flat and you still want all the storage, but you haven't got much space, this is great to have. Drawers, you know, again, some people might think, oh, it's just doors and I can't change it. You can change it.
Yeah.
Drawers are more expensive, about $95 each, if I remember well. But drawers, I guess if I had a look at all the houses we sell, I would say 90% of people add more drawers to their kitchen because it's a lot more practical as opposed to having the two doors. And it looks good.
I agree, yeah.
Not just in terms of practicality, but in terms of looks. Drawers, like you see at the back there, it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
So you can have drawers. You can have wine racking too. For example, fridge, you have an overhead cabinet. You've done that at your house.
I have, yes.
Jaden had a fridge and it had no overhead cabinets. Mm. And let's face it, it looked pretty shit.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
So now you've got a wine rack and you might be able to fit, what, 20 bottles or something around those lines?
Like that.
About those things. And I think it changed the whole space.
I agree.
Just having a wine rack there.
Yeah. Looks good. Covers up the hole. You don't see the like the fridge pipe that runs up.
That's exactly right. Yeah, so wine racking. And then, you know, you can tell your builder, for example, if you want to add a wine fridge, if you want to add a bar fridge. You know, you might have a lot of entertaining and you really would love to have a bit of a bar fridge on the side of your kitchen. Why not? All we have to do is leave the space for it you can have a bar fridge in there. So this is roughly some of the things you can have, and then you can also have on the overheads, you can have glass doors. Glass doors do look pretty cool. And again, we do this a lot in like bars where people have like a games room. Glass doors are great, particularly if you have an LED light in each of those. And that's probably the most common options, I guess, that people go with.
Yeah, I agree.
In terms of doors and everything, yeah.
Yeah, and you spoke about like the cool fridges and everything, which I think is going to bring us perfectly into our next one, which is all the appliances you can upgrade. Mm. Now, I know you can talk a lot about all the amazing appliances we have these days, but just run through some of the really cool options we have from like, you know, obviously the induction cooktops, the built-in and so forth.
All right, let's try to do it as quick as I can. One of our most popular thing is the 900 cooker. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much nearly a 1 meter wide freestanding stainless steel cooker that's got a gas cooktop and a massive 900 mil oven.
For standard, it's pretty awesome.
You cannot go wrong with this. It looks good. It's super good to cook. Mm. And we use Westinghouse, but as long as it's a good brand, you will be fine.
100%.
So this is, in my opinion, a must. If it was me, I wouldn't have the 600 mil appliances, from a stove oven tower, which has a 600 mil oven. This is okay, but a 600 mil cooktop, don't do it. It will hurt your resale.
Yeah.
Even if you're not a big chef and all that, I'm not a big chef, but don't do it. Don't get a 600 cooker because it will hurt your resale. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So most people will have a gas cooktop.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be scared if your area doesn't have some natural gas, because you can always have gas bottles on the outside of the house.
That's
and
it.
If you think, you know, gas is not safe, nowadays those cookers are so good that they won't let the gas come with no flame, I guess. So it's really well made.
Mm-hmm.
And we've probably built now, I think we calculate 1,200 homes. I reckon 1,160 of those have gas cooktops. We've never had an issue. This is a good point, I think. And then you can go into the electric side of things. So some people will have solar and they're like, no, I want my whole house to be electric. And so you got a ceramic cooktop. Now a ceramic cooktop is good.
Mm.
However, at the same time, it's also a little bit dated. You know, a ceramic cooktop, you might find it in like a smaller unit that you are renting, you know. So my opinion on this would be to upgrade to a induction.
Yeah.
Now, the greatest thing about a... The greatest thing about a induction cooktop is if you have kids, they can't get burnt on the cooktop.
That's it, yeah.
Which is a really good... So obviously, if you have something sitting on there, they will get burned on what's sitting on there because will be hot.
Yeah.
But if you take that off, they won't be able to get burned in there. They won't be able to get burned in the flame. So that's because of the way the induction cooktop works, which also means you need to have separate cooking equipment.
Yeah. It needs to be induction compliant. Because normal one will not work.
Yeah,
right?
That's it.
Yeah.
But what I love about the induction cooktop is how streamlined and how slick it looks.
Yeah.
And again, particularly coming from someone that had a gas cooktop, and the cleaning is annoying. You know, like, you got all the cast stuff, the things on top, and you're cooking, and no matter how well you try, if you're cooking a stir fry, shit's gonna go everywhere. You know, it's so annoying. So
and you spend 45 minutes like
with a gas cooktop, you gotta take the things off, put them on the side, clean it, and put it back on, and it's quite annoying.
Yeah.
So with the induction, you just wipe it off and it's done.
Yeah, that's it.
But downside of the induction, it will cost a little bit more.
That's it.
And then you've also got...
Oh, mate.
I'm keeping. And then you've also got the different brands. So
that was what I was going to
make sure you stick, I would say, with good brands, you know, like the Westinghouse and the Electrolux, the Smegs.
Yeah.
All those brands usually are pretty good. Recently, that's it. We've been doing quite a few houses with Miele appliances, and it's really impressive. I wasn't a big expert on appliances, but the shit that those appliances can do is next level.
It's next level.
It can literally cook you a steak to this amount of this and this amount of this. You can control it from your app. And I was like, wow, this is next level.
If you're not a chef, it'll make you look like a professional chef. It'll
make you look like a professional, particularly if you're cooking cakes and stuff. And and then you can go, and that's what's good when you go with a 600 mil wall appliances, because you can have a tower and you can, for example, have a normal oven. You could have a steam oven, microwave. You could have a built-in microwave, and you can have a coffee machine.
Yeah, the coffee machines look sick, like those built-in ones.
A coffee machine is pretty sick. So they are expensive. Like I think the Electrolux might be around 2,500 and a Miele might probably be 5,000.
Yeah, 5K.
But they look really good. They look really, really, really good. So mix up your appliances and think of your kitchen as a layout. A lot of people don't even think of the microwave. You know, they design the plans and then they realize, I don't have a microwave space, you know. So think about it. Where do you want it? You know, do you want it under the bench? Do you want it at a height? And that's also something important. Again, we deal with a lot of houses and the owners are a little bit older and they don't necessarily want to have to bend down like on the bench to be able to reach the oven, because it is quite annoying if you do a lot of cooking.
That's a great point.
A lot of people enjoy their cooking. So you can raise yourself appliances and then, you know, and you can raise it as subject to your height too. You might be 1.6 meter tall and you want it at that height. Again, just tell your builder the exact height that you want. They can help with that.
That's it.
And it would make your cooking much easier.
100%. A couple of things else I wanted to touch on. So you've also got the different types of range hoods.
Oh, range hood, there's so many types here. That's right.
Yeah. So obviously you can get your built-in ones and your undermounts. And your-
yeah, so you've got your standard canopy, I guess. Usually a stainless steel thing with a glass or a stainless steel sort of bottom.
Yeah.
Yes, the glass is a little bit harder to clean. So now CMA has a stainless steel one, which I think looks really amazing.
Yeah, it looks way better. Then
you can have a slider range hood. Yes. Which the slider wrench also has the tendency to look a bit cheaper, in my opinion.
A little bit dated.
Yeah, sort of the things you find in an apartment from the 1980s.
Yeah.
Just a little bit
unless
dated.
Unless that's the vibe you're going for, then
it's unless this totally going away. You're going so. For. A big thing we sell is the undermount wrench hood. The undermount wrench hood you don't see. So pretty much all you see is the overhead cabinets. The undermount wrench hood, like the name says, is under the soft cabinet. Looks good. Yes, a little bit more expensive. If I remember well, by the time you had the cabinet, it's probably $799 or $729, something around those lines. But we do a lot of it. You do have to be mindful of the clearance between the cooktop and the wrench hood, particularly if it's gas, because sometimes this might need to be increased. Wrench hood, and also make sure that specify to your builder that they dug the wrench hood to the outside.
Yeah.
Particularly if you're doing a lot of cooking, ideally you don't want the wrench hood to just recycle. Have that function, but ideally you want it to be ducted outside. And the more spicier of cooking you do, the more you want it to duct it outside.
Yeah.
And also think about this too, because some people might, I guess you might have a window or a door, you also don't want to duct it right there.
Yeah.
If it was me, I'd duct it quite a little bit further so that I don't open my door and actually all that air comes back in. Yeah, that's it. So
The only other thing I can think of that we haven't talked about in terms of appliances is colors of appliances.
Oh,
so
true.
You have things like the stainless steel.
True.
You've got the black these days. You've got white these days. Literally. Yeah. Any color, even the styles. So for example, Smeg offer like a really cool, like traditional, like Hamptons sort of type of appliance. But yeah, there's loads of different options.
Yeah, what we found quite popular, and we've got it at the display home at Newport, is a dark stainless.
Yeah.
I think that looks so good. That looks so good. I'm a big fan of black too. Those black appliances look so good.
I agree.
Particularly if you have a modern house.
Yep.
And usually you can get each and every of those appliances to match. So the microwave, the oven, and the cooktop. And then things like Miele do that white one, which looks pretty cool. And they do that that mid gray, which also looks really, really good. So plenty of colors. And it is something to think about when you are designing your kitchen, because everything ideally needs to match.
Yeah.
Particularly again, because the kitchen is probably one of the biggest selling point in your house.
I agree.
People are going to buy your house because of the kitchen and the bathroom and obviously the house itself, but the kitchen is such a big selling point.
I agree. Just really quickly before we move on from appliances as well, just touch on when you get the literally integrated appliances. Mm-hmm. So your kitchen has the cupboardry doors over the top, mm-hmm. and everything like that.
Yes, you can get two things integrated. I guess you can get the wrench hood. The dishwasher can be fully integrated so mm-hmm. that you literally don't see anything. You don't even know there's a wrench hood.
Dishwasher, not a wrench hood.
Oh. I don't know what I was like, Roger, the dishwasher is what I meant. And it's pretty cool because how you know it's on, there's a red laser that you see on the floor, usually depending on the dishwasher, but most of them. So really cool to have a integrated dishwasher. And the final thing you can integrate is a fridge.
Mm.
A little bit more work with a fridge, depending on the fridge you have. But again, in my opinion, how good does it look to not be able to see the fridge?
Oh,
I think it looks so good. It's so sleek.
Yeah.
And you know, if you do need to maintain it, yes, if you do need to change that fridge, you probably need to buy the same brand of fridge.
Yeah.
But that's about it. I think, you know, like all those companies would have some warranties.
Mm-hmm.
And so in terms of sort of warranties, again, just think of a good brand so that you don't have to worry about that sort of things.
Awesome. So I think that summed up the appliances really, really well. Another great feature, obviously, of your kitchen with your island bench and the bench that you know your cooktop is on is the stone. So you can get loads of different thicknesses of stone. The one we offer as standard is 20 millimeters hay throughout your entire home.
That's usually what most builders have is a 20 mil stone. Yeah.
For sure. But that's not all you can get. You can get loads of different options. Hey,
that's it. And the first thing I'm going to say is some people think, I think most people would think that you know, you can upgrade your 40 mil bench top or 60 mil bench top. And they think this is the thickness of the actual bench top.
Mm.
It's not. You know, you might think, oh, I'm getting a 40 mil bench top because it's stronger. It doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
The bench top always stays 20 mil, unless you're going natural stone and you might be able to get a 30 mil bench top. But apart from that, the new stone bench tops, which are all sort of engineered stone,
mm-hmm.
are 20 mil.
Mm.
And basically what happens is when you want to do, say, a 60 mil bench top, all you have to do is have your 20 mil, cut on a 45, have a 60 mil front and return at the bottom. So it's just an edge. So it's basically a fake 60 mil edge, I guess.
Yeah.
The good thing about this is you can pretty much do anything you want.
Yeah, yeah.
You can go 40, you can go 60. We've done some at 100.
100, yeah.
I think the display home at Calandra might even have 120.
There you go.
So you can literally do pretty much anything you want,
mm.
to the point where you can go to a full waterfall end,
yeah.
and that's literally a 900 high,
that's it.
I guess, edge.
It looks sick though.
So yeah, so cool. You can go from the 20 mil to usually the most common is 40.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can add your waterfall ends on the side of the island, which are also a very common sort of upgrade.
For sure.
And just reverting back onto the stone, so you've obviously got a few benchtop options. You've got the laminate benchtops, which are the timber one.
Yes.
I'm not even going to talk about it because it's just so old and used anymore.
Yeah.
Then you've got your engineered stone. So if you think of your scissor stone, your litho stone, your smart stone, all those are engineered stone. They are a stone that is manufactured.
Yep, yep, that's it.
Now you might think, oh, it's manufactured, so it's fake and it's not great. Well, no, it's actually probably stronger than normal stone.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need the maintenance of
normal stone,
stone, which is why most builders use this and why it's so popular, because you don't need to seal it. You know, you don't need to have to worry about dropping your one on it and it's going to stain it. So
it.
You don't have all those sort of issues, and it's cost efficient.
I was about to say, yeah. Like just because it's an engineered stone or whatever, it doesn't mean that it still doesn't look classy.
That's
it
right.
It still looks incredibly classy.
That's right.
They
it
have
looks
some
great.
Amazing, you know, different types of stone.
Well, that's the thing. They replicate it so well now that you can get the look of a natural stone without having the maintenance or the price of natural stone. Because natural stone, and when I say natural stone, we're talking marble, granites, all those type of stone are natural stone. So you basically dig a hole on earth, grab that block, you cut it into 20 mil slices, you've got your stone.
That's it. Unless so that's you know someone from Mars or something that can get it.
I mean, you might be able to get natural stone from there too.
Yeah.
How cool would it be, a stone bench top from Mars?
Right.
But anyway.
What a selling feature.
Yeah, all right. Well, where was I going with this? But yes, your natural stone is also really nice. And I will say, if you are building a a really upmarket home that's possibly above $800,000, I would consider it because it looks so good.
For sure.
And if you the best way to pick those stones is to actually go to the stone supplier. So usually there's a stone supplier that have a massive warehouse and they stock all the stones and you can just go there.
Yep.
You can pick the stones that you want and just buy, say, 5 slabs. Yeah, so it is great. We do a few houses like this and I always enjoy it because those stones look absolutely incredible. However, Engineer Stone, they've replicated the look. It's getting light. They've replicated the look of natural stone so well and the prices are so good that it's a no-brainer for like 99% of our clients.
I totally agree. Yeah. Is there anything else you can think of about stone before we move
on? No, the only thing that I always say is always be mindful if you have a stone benchtop, never put a hot pot straight into it.
Yeah.
We usually say this at handovers because you will not see it maybe right away, but stone doesn't like a rapid change in soft temperature. So it will not like the rapid change from cold to really, really hot and it will cause the stone to crack.
For sure. Awesome. So there's your disclaimer. Now, sinks.
Sinks.
An important part of the kitchen. So you can get loads of different types of sinks, different colors of sinks, different everything.
There's so much. Right? When it comes to sink and sink mixers, there's literally so much. And it's important you think about it too, because some people may, let's face it, never use the sink.
That's it.
They got a dishwasher and you know they're not going to use it, but some people are going to use it a lot. So think about this, think about the warranties on the sink and think about the finish of that sink. So from stainless steel to black finish, but black can be like a dark stainless, so it can be like a granite type of finish. And then you have the Hamptons farmhouse type looking ceramic sinks. So you always have those. So you've got plenty of sink option from top mount to undermount sink. That's now,
it. Do you want square, rectangle,
circle? Oh, that's exactly right.
Oval.
That's exactly right. There's so many options. And I love the undermount and it has been extremely so popular because the top mount sink looks, I guess, a little bit old school.
Yeah.
You always get that silicone around which you have to clean and all that. Well, the undermount sink, as the name says, sits at the bottom of the stone, it's glued under. It's just very neat and looks great. Yeah, a little bit more expensive, not just the sink you buy, but obviously to install it, but it looks really, really good.
I agree. Is there anything else people need to know about the sinks?
No, the only thing that I've seen a lot that I actually really like is when you have a kitchen and a butler's pantry, and again, 90% of the homes we do have this nowadays, a lot of people put the sink that is meant to be in the butler, so the smaller sink in the kitchen, and put the sink that you actually use in the butler's. And I find this to be a great idea because that's the whole purpose of a butler's.
Yeah,
it's to have all the shit in there. So have your really nice sink in your kitchen, smaller sink because you're not going to be using it much. Maybe you're going to use it to fill a glass of water or put a plate in there, but have the sink that you actually use in the butler's pantry. Same thing with the dishwasher. I would also have the dishwasher in the butler's pantry so that again, you keep everything in there and your kitchen always stays really nice.
100% agree. Perfect. So another great thing that is closely related to the sink is obviously the tapware. So similar thing applies really. Hey, with the tapware, same thing, you can get all the different colors from your brush brass to your matte black, your gunmetal, whatever you pretty much
want. Plenty of colors, plenty
even
of colors.
Even the different types of spout you want, whether you want like a big gooseneck or you want the one where it can like, what do you call it when it pulls out again?
It's just a flexible, I guess, step, which I really so recommend. Particularly if you're going to be washing a few dishes and stuff, it's so hard with like a fixed step. Yes, you might swivel to the side, but you can't do much. Where a lot of the steps, and we have them in the showroom here, is just a pull out, so flexible tap, and you can just wash your whole sink. Again, I think we might charge $149, so it's not like it's crazy expensive. And again, have your kitchen with your really nice fancy tap. You know, you might have a brush brass tap or something. Have your butler's pantry with a flexible one, so that you can use and you can clean things. Yeah,
that's it. And it's important as well, what style are you going for? If you want super modern, we have the super modern sleek taps. If you want like a Hamptons look, we have the Hamptons sort of old school taps. Hey, it just really depends on whatever style you want. Yeah, don't know where I was going with that. Let's keep going. So perfect. So we've talked about the stone, we've talked about your cabinetry. Now let's talk about the splashbacks. Again, there is so many different options. So obviously the most, I guess, cliche one would be your tiled splashback.
Mm.
But you can't just have any tiled splashback. There's loads of different options and layers that you can get for your splashback, hey?
Yeah, I mean, where do we even start with this? Like, it's a whole different topic, it's true. But so the first thing is you can mix and match. So you could have, for example, a lot of what we do has a window splashback and tiles on the sides. Mm. I think it looks great, brings light into the kitchen. And like we were talking about, you can even put some green plants at the back and just bring a whole different vibe to your kitchen.
Yeah, bring the outdoors in.
That's exactly right. Have really nice palm trees or like some nice plants at the back.
What are you doing?
I'm just like, so I love that look. I think it just brings life into the air of kitchen as opposed to like a very bland type of kitchen.
I agree.
Then even if you have a window and you've got tiles or glass or mirror on the side, you can even change your windows. So a window will have a survivorship around.
Mm.
I love the look when you have a window splashback and you delete the survivorship. You pretty much square set that window and you tile the front and you tile the side. So all you see is a really nice trim all around your windows and you have tiles on the front and tiles on the side. To me, this finish is so neat and it just looks amazing. And all you have to do is just tell your builder to not have the survivorship, have a trim and tile the reveal of the window. So the inside of the window is called a reveal.
Mm.
Will cost a little bit more,
but
the finish, and in terms of cleaning too, you know, do you really want to have timber that's glossed? Like it doesn't look that great.
Yeah.
So this is a great finish. Going back to the tiles, so you can still have the tiles on the side and there's so many choices. There's so many patterns from the hang bone to the stack lay to the colors. There's so many options.
Subway tiles.
Subway tiles. And that's going to depend on the look you're going for. Yeah, that's mainly it. Then in terms of splashback, there's a few more options. Mm. You could have a stone splashback, which we have at Newport, for example, where the back is stone. So you could have a stone splashback. You could have a glass splashback. So glass splashback, like the name says, it's just glass that's painted at the back.
Mm-hmm.
What colors can you pick with that? Pretty much all the colors you want from the Dulux range is the colors you can have as a glass splashback. So this is option two. You can have a mirror splashback. Now you can have a normal mirror, but usually what we do is we do the smoked mirror. And the smoked mirror just bring that luxury look to your kitchen. Yes, if you have it directly at the back of your cooktop, it might be a little bit more weird to clean.
Mm.
But at the same time, is it more work than having tiles and grout, which is also going to be hard to clean?
That's it.
And particularly the mirror, you can always clean the grout. Once it's gone too far, you really have to scrape it and put new grout.
You be the judge.
you be Jesus.
You be Jesus. You be the judge. That's what I was meant to say.
So yeah, you can have all those options. There's more than that actually. You could have acrylic splashbacks. Not the biggest thing, it's a bit of a plastic splashback. I don't know how I feel about it. I probably wouldn't recommend it. Most of the time we do stone and I love the look of the glass. I think a fixed window looks great, particularly like we said, if you tile the sort of reveals. Mm. And I also love the look, which we're gonna do that at the display home in North Harbour, I'm trying to think where.
North Harbour.
Finger tiles, how good do they look? Again, you put a white trim, finger tiles, and you return them, and it just changes your whole kitchen.
That's it. Perfect. So I think that's all in terms of splashback, pretty much nailed there. Now, public service announcement, Chris. One thing we feel that both of us, we can agree on that we need to pay more attention to in our kitchen is lighting.
Yes. And it always upsets me. And I think it upsets you too when we do a handover.
Seriously, he cries.
And so we try to do handovers on most of the homes we build. Like literally 99%, we go to those houses, we set it up and we check everything.
Every single one.
And when we have a really, really nice kitchen and it doesn't have an LED strip light to like showcase everything, it does upset me quite a bit.
A little part of us is a bit cut.
Yeah, so one of the biggest things you can do, particularly if you have a really nice splashback, is to add a recessed LED strip light in your overhead cabinets. What the builder does or what the cabinet maker does is they have their board at the bottom of the overhead cabinet. They create a recess and the LED strip light sits in there. And then there's a smaller soft cover, so it doesn't like it's going to fall. It's super easy to keep clean. But what it does is it lights up all the bench and the splashback in the same manner.
Yeah, it looks so good.
And every time we see it, we're like, wow. Like, again, for the small amount that it costs, depending if you have a wrench hood that is not on the mount, it might cost a little bit more sometimes because I guess the LED strip light comes with a transformer. So you might need to have a power point on the left cabinet and a power point on the right.
Mm.
But usually it's nicer with an overhead, with an undermount wrench hood and the LED strip light that runs all the way. I think that looks sick. Personally, I would even do the kitchen and the air butlers if you can.
Yeah.
Because it just lights up everything and it looks so good. So yeah, lighting is critical. And same thing, you know, with your island bench, you want to have either your pendants or you want to have some really cool black
LED light bars,
light bars look good. It's pretty much like an LED strip light, but just built.
Yeah, suspended.
again, when we see one of those light bars and it lights up the whole bench, it just makes the whole thing stand out.
Yeah.
So I would say think about your lighting in your kitchen because some of the houses, and not just what we build, obviously, but like everyone that I see, even when we go to a display home, it's poorly lit.
Yeah.
And it's amazing the difference that an LED strip light and a few more downlights would make to your whole kitchen.
That's it.
You don't even have to change anything. It would just change your whole kitchen just by the lighting.
That's it. I've even seen ones, like really cool ones where like they open the pantry doors or whatever if they don't have a butlers and the lights come on as they do that.
Super cool. So when we're talking about the glass doors, you could have your sort of LED light in there. You can have it like this. This is going a bit fine cost, but it looks good. Where you'd have a pantry with two doors and each of the shelf has an LED strip light. Nice. Now that's a whole different ball game, but it looks so good.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see it, but bit of a different topic, but walking robes and you can even have like an LED truck light like that. And again, if we didn't have this, that walking robe would look okay.
Yeah.
This changes the whole robe. Like, I don't know if you can see it on the camera, but in here, it changes the whole place.
It changes this wardrobe from being completely okay to wow.
And that's the one mistake that I will not make in the next display homes. I will add a lot more lighting in the kitchens and in the wet areas while we talk about this. We spoke about this when we talked about the bathroom podcast and go and watch this too because it's quite good, I think.
Yeah, I
but lighting is really important. Again, we walk through sometimes some really cool bathrooms and it's just missing light.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think
it's very dark.
It's
dull.
Very dark, and lighting just changes the whole thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, last couple of points before we head off because it is getting a bit of a longer podcast. Hopefully, it's been super informative and it's kept you along this far though. So that's the goal. But the butler's pantry / second kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, it's getting a lot more popular these days to have your butlers or like people are doing now, turning it into a second kitchen.
True. I mean, I love this idea. Like ever since we started to do it. So what Jaden means by that is you have your main kitchen and your main kitchen is going to be there to look good. Let's face it. And to store things, but it's there to look good.
Yeah.
Where you're going to be cooking is your butler's second kitchen. So that's where you have another set of appliances. Yes, you might be 600 appliances in there. But at least this is where you're going to be cooking. Yeah. And I sort of love the idea because even if you have guests, your main kitchen is always clean. They can sit there. Everything is clean. You don't have to worry about it. And your butlers is where you do the work.
That's great.
When you think about it, that's the whole purpose of a butler's.
Mm-hmm.
A butler's pantry is where you actually cook it. And so many times we do a butler's pantry and people don't really use it that I feel if they just put in some appliances and made the butler's pantry a little bit bigger.
That's it.
Boom. It doesn't have to be that big of a butler's pantry, but say if you have 2.4 meters of bench and your appliances,
you've got
plenty of space to cook. So that's been something that I have seen, we have seen, and we've been doing a lot more of. And I find the idea super cool.
I totally agree, 100%. Like you said, it just brings another level of sort of luxe to your house.
Yeah, and particularly, again, if you're going to be, you know, some people are great. I mean, they love to cook, whether it's spicy food, whether it's this or that, and fish, you know, it's quite annoying. I mean, I remember when I used to cook fish, like the whole house is flooded for about an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, like when is that fish market? I know, right? Exactly. Yeah. You get a small cloud going on. Yeah, yeah. So it's like, you know, at least if you got a butler's, and again, you can have a butler's with even a sort of upgraded sort of ranch hood. We're talking about so many nationalities too, like, you know, that's each of those have different cooking, and some people do a lot of cooking that I think.
Some people cook for a lot of people. So it might
exactly
be good,
what you might have a huge sort of family, and you do a lot of cooking. So you know, why not have everything in the bottlers, and then you can set the thing in the kitchen, and it looks good.
That's it. Or it might be Christmas, and you've got the entire family over. Why not use both ovens? You know.
Or another point, actually, which I just thought about it now, but again, for example, you might have kids.
Yeah.
And you'll be worried the kids might, you know, touch the cooker and the oven and all that. If you have a butler's pantry with a cavity slider, problem solved.
That's it.
That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah. Lock it.
That's it. Yeah.
It's a great idea. Yeah. Perfect. So before we head off from this podcast, we've been running for a little while now. Is there any other cool little upgrades, tips, tricks, affordable things that you would suggest for people, for their kitchen? If not, we'll get out of your hair.
No, I mean... The main things that I can see is people don't spend enough time thinking carefully about the kitchen and the design. Mm. They think, you know, be fine. There's a few doors and a few drawers and splash bag, yeah, whatever. But I would say spend a bit more time. And like we said on multiple podcasts, including the color selection, and go and watch this too, because it's quite good, I think, is just put a bit more thoughts into it. Look at a lot of inspiration. What do you like, you know? And you'll be surprised, but you don't necessarily have to spend that much more. Mm. Maybe it's a few drawers here. Maybe it's an LED strip light. Maybe it's the window, like I was saying, with a tile that reveals. So you don't even have to go to a mirror splashback. You can just have a tiled splashback. But try to do those extra things to make your kitchen pop.
That's it.
And yeah.
Just think as well, like, you know, is my fridge going to fit in that space? Is the... You know, is it a little bit squishy between your island bench and your back bench? Do you need to bring that out a little bit so you got a bit more room? You know, there's just little things like that, like that you can have.
That's exactly right. And the more of a chef you are and the more you love cooking, the more you should think about this.
Yeah.
Even to the point where do you want your PowerPoints? Where are you going to sit your coffee machine if you don't have a belted one? Where are you going to sit that? Where are you going to sit your toaster? Because you really need to think of all this so that when you use that kitchen, everything is ready to go and just really practical. Because the last thing you want is, oh, I've got a toaster and I'm missing a PowerPoint where I really want one, you know? Yeah. So, but yeah, I think people don't spend enough time designing their kitchen. In my point of view, it's so important that you just want to think and spend that extra time. Yeah. Go to Display Homes, look at Instagram, follow us on Instagram, get a bit of inspiration so that you can make your kitchen stand out. And again, I don't think you have to spend that much more. I don't even think you have to go to the 400 meal bench top and all that. This is phasing out a little bit now. I think people are phasing out from the waterfalls and a 40 meal stone. Because there's so much more you can do to make it look classy and trendy.
Yeah.
And the cost of saving you have by not going the 40 mil, for example, spend a lot more on the rest.
That's it. LED strip light along the back.
That's exactly right. But you had a good point with the fridge. If you have an existing fridge, make sure it will fit in the fridge void. And keeping in mind that no matter what builder you work with, the measurements on a floor plan are frame to frame. This is very important, frame to frame, remember that. Because if it says 1 meter fridge space on the floor plan, it will mean that the finished space for your fridge is probably gonna be 1 meter less 10 mil plasterboard, so either side, so that's 980, less 10 mil skirting, depending on the skirting thickness you have, that's 960. So always think about this. And if you are buying a fridge, the same apply. Have a look at the fridge you may want to buy. Have a look at the dimension and make sure your builder has enough space for that fridge.
That's it.
Because the last thing you want is moving to your new house, put in the fridge, and it doesn't work. It doesn't fit, or it's just not suited to the area, I guess. Yeah. So yeah, that's that I would say is quite important. But yeah, something many people don't know that Afan is, and we put that on all our plans so that people know.
Yeah.
But no matter what builder you deal with, the measurements on a plan are frame to frame. So same thing applies if you if you're going to buy your bed or lounge, it's frame to frame. So always allow, I guess, for the plasterboard and the skirting.
That's it. Perfect. I think that was a great tip to end on. Hopefully you enjoyed this podcast and share it with people who you think are going to get value out of this. Again, if you haven't already, follow us over on Instagram, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and we'll see you next week. What do you reckon the next topic should be?
I don't know, but before I forget, I wanted to give a shout out, not to who you think I'm going to give it a shout out yet, but shout out to Ben from Hammertime Kitchens and his whole team. Ben, in my opinion, is the greatest cabinet maker in Queensland, probably the whole Australia. Just so good. So follow them on Instagram.
Yeah, they're really, really good.
They're really good. I mean, I love his work. And yeah, so I would recommend to follow them on Instagram. Mm. And shout out, now that I thought about that too, to Dalia.
Yes.
Our receptionist. We were meant to be giving her a shout out probably about 20 podcasts ago.
Yeah.
And I always forget. And yeah, I just remembered. So shout out to Dalia.
She got a shout out.
Now she got happy. A shout out.
Perfect. All right. So we'll see you next week with, I don't know, we don't kitchens, we don't bathrooms. What's next? Maybe bedrooms and wardrobes.
I'd love to do, I think, a lot of things that I wanted to do would probably be the different type of cladding. But if we stick to the interior side of things, maybe flooring.
That's not a bad
one.
We
got tiles, we got laminates, we got vinyl, we got engineer, we got solid timber floor. There's so many. Let us know if you'd like to see that podcast, actually.
That's it. That's a good point. And I definitely think, yeah, we need to do that exterior one at
it'd be good. All the different type of cladding, because there's so much, again, from brick veneer, to Hebel, to the James Hardy cladding, to the trim deck and all those things. There's so many types of exterior cladding, to the foam. You know, yes, there's foam as exterior cladding too. So from render to bagging to face brick.
All right, mate. It's for another podcast, okay. All right? All right, well, let's get out of here. We got to go. Let's go train. And we will see you next week with another podcast.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you.